Welcome to the My Crazy Office podcast with the authors of Working With You Is Killing Me, Working For You Isn't Working For Me, and Mean Girls at Work, Kathy Elster and Catherine Crowley. They're committed to creating world peace, one crazy office at a time. And now, here are Kathy and Catherine.
Hey everyone, it's just me today, Kathy Elster. Catherine's on vacation, so I just thought, let's just do this, Logan and I, and answer a bunch of questions that came in this week, because we know people want answers. Yes. So what do we have, Logan?
Okay, so this first one. I am a stylist at a high-end retail store on Fifth Avenue. One of the things I liked during the interview process was that the space encouraged lots of selling styles. I like this because my selling style is more on the relaxed side. I'm one of the store's top sellers and have even gotten positive feedback from corporate for my selling and organizational skills. Recently, however, a new manager was brought into the store and has completely turned it upside down. He watches everyone on cameras in a back room and barks orders to lower managers via walkie-talkies about every stylist on the floor. Everyone is now required to be super bubbly, loud, and in customers' faces, and we get reprimanded if we do not do so. The other day, I was spoken to by three separate managers for not being bubbly and engaged enough, yet I made the highest sales that day. The atmosphere has completely changed, and everyone acts on edge. I am not happy in the space anymore, and it's not at all congruent with the atmosphere I was told it would be in the interview. I do not want to be fake and have to change my personality, especially when the way I work makes money for the store. I have loyal, happy clients that I love, but now feel anxious before every workday. What should I do?
Oh boy, that sounds really rough.
Sounds awful.
Well, when you are hired for a job based on a certain set of criteria and then somebody else comes in and that changes, it's really uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. I think the numbers speak for themselves.
Right.
If you are the highest
seller.
You bring in the highest seller, you have some room to talk there.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
I think that you have the right to go to this manager or whoever is your direct manager.
Right.
And say something and say, look, I come to work and I'm committed and I bring in the highest numbers here, but something has changed that is not exactly working for me. So I'm bringing this problem to you and I would like to talk it through. My style works. And is there any wiggle room here that you can allow me to do things the way I do because I do bring in the results? And just see what happens. I mean, if they insist that you be phony, you have to let them know, well, then I may have to make some other decisions here.
Mm-hmm.
I may not be able to work under those conditions, but I'm asking you to reconsider the conditions you're asking because I'm doing well by not behaving that way. I mean, I think this might be a series of conversations.
Right, I think so.
And your numbers speak for really the power. And when you're in sales, it's always about the numbers.
Right.
The person who has the numbers can go and request anything.
Right, because they're bringing in money for...
You're in a powerful position. And there's probably others that feel the same way you do. I don't know. But I would just speak for yourself.
Right.
Because it's... You're in a position that you can do that. Also, maybe go to the person who initially hired you.
Okay.
Because that person liked the, what you were bringing to the store.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe that person, if they're higher up, can have some impact for you.
Right. Right.
I think what they're asking for maybe has worked in other places. So they're not 100% wrong. So I don't want you to walk in with, I'm right, you're wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Just we have a difference of opinion here. And I know what has worked for me. Clearly, look at my numbers.
Mm-hmm.
So, do it in partnership. Don't do it out of...
Don't be antagonistic or
right. And at the same time, you might have to move on to a different environment, and it does happen. Under new management, the environment does change,
right?
And then another decision has to be made whether that's going to work for you or not. That's a tough one.
It is.
Yeah,
it is. Especially when you like the work and have clients that you like, but it's management or change of management that just...
I mean, maybe they can just lay off of you, you know, uh-huh. maybe you can get them to not, you know, talk mm-hmm. through the microphone at you and right, just leave you alone. And then you can do the work the way you want to do it. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And that'll be okay.
But you're saying it should definitely be a conversation or a series of conversations to see if they can
accommodate you.
Right. Right. Okay.
Yeah.
I think that's great.
Yeah, okay. Good. What's our next question?
Second question. I recently got hired for a full-time position, but I'm unsure on how to leave my other employers. I was freelancing and working on various separate projects. A part of me wants to shut down these projects right away and simply delve into this full-time work. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure, you know, freelance work is, it's insecure, you know?
Right.
So getting a full-time job, I hope that's great. I think that when you start any new position, you always have a period of time where you have to tie up loose ends.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So you can ask, just maybe start a month in and say, I need this month to tie up loose ends. Or if you want me to start immediately, then I may need to leave certain days early, or I may need to take an hour in during the day, but I have to tie up.
That's fair.
Because, I have a lot of clients, when they take a new job, they ask for a 30-day. They're going to give a 30-day notice or a two-week notice. So you always have that period of being able to close down the work you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's reasonable to ask for that. And maybe if it's possible, you can continue some of that freelance work in the evening or on the weekends.
Right.
So then that would be a separate conversation with your client saying, look, I just took on a full-time job, but I'm going to do your work on the weekends. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be slower.
Mm-hmm.
You may not get it delivered as quickly as we have been in the past.
Right.
That's another thing. I mean, who knows if the full-time job is going to work out or if you're going to love working full-time.
Sure.
So if you can retain those clients as long as you can, I don't think that's a bad thing.
No, I agree. So you're not burning any bridges. You still potentially are maintaining some financial security also.
Making even more money.
Right,
and,
right.
And, you know, there's nothing wrong with having some freelance gigs when you have full-time job. So I don't know how encompassing this full-time job is, if there's a lot of overtime. And, you know, maybe it's not feasible. That's something have to figure out. But I think coming into any new job, there's usually an allowance for the time that you need to close up your old work.
Right.
So I don't think that's unreasonable. I mean, you might have planned a vacation, and when you take a new job, you say to them, you know, I booked this vacation.
Mm-hmm.
They have to go with that.
Right.
So if you have clients that you have to, you know, finish a project with, they should, if they don't understand that, then that's a problem.
Yeah, that's true. The way your new employer handles that or sees that can also be very telling, right?
Yeah. I mean, I know someone who had to give a month's notice in her position, and they reacted really well. They said, good, we expect the same thing if you ever leave us.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a good thing.
Yes.
And I've seen other people react not well to, what do you mean I have to wait for you? I need you immediately. So, yeah, that tells you a lot, that they probably have high turnover and they probably don't treat people that well. So hopefully you can, you know, leave your freelance projects in good shape.
Right.
Not cut them off.
Be professional about
it. Yeah.
Great.
We have one more question?
We have one more, yes. My new boss is very difficult for me to read. He encourages my input and feedback, but I find myself wary to speak up because my previous boss was not at all like this. My previous boss would say he wanted feedback, but that was often not the case, and towards the end of my employment, I was dealing with very hostile, abusive behavior. How do I get myself to stop treating my current boss like my former?
Oh, that's so hard.
It is. It is.
That's a really hard one because, you know, we all leave bad boss situations with the memory fully intact. I don't want to say PTSD because that's more severe, but there's it's a lighter form of that where you're still carrying the fear that this person's going to be
very
just
protective.
Like, I think it's reasonable. One is you can ask other workers. You know, when they say they want your ideas, do they mean that? You know, you can get feedback from other people. And you can test the water. You can just dip your toe and see what happens.
Right.
Because, you know, they're learning you, you're learning them. So there is It really takes 90 days to learn a job. Mm-hmm. Most jobs, mm-hmm. you got to give it 3 months. Mm-hmm. And included in that learning the job is also in learning the culture and right. what your boss is like as a person. Mm-hmm. So I think you have to wake up in the morning and say, I'm not going to bring my old boss to work with me today.
Right, right. I'm going to talk to yourself in the mirror.
Right. I'm going to leave that energy where I left it mm-hmm. in the last mm-hmm. office and try to look at your new job fresh.
Right.
But that the wounds, they're wounds. Yeah. They're there. And they are there to protect you. They're not bad.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So I think that's all this person is saying is, you know, how protective do I need to be?
Right.
And you're
right.
going to find that out and trust it.
Trust it, right.
You
right.
know? So the chances of you, of your boss being identical to the last boss is probably slim.
Mm-hmm,
although
mm-hmm.
we do tend to repeat patterns
mm-hmm.
in bosses. So you do want to make sure... you do want to, you know, take it slowly and
right.
and move with caution
right.
along the way as you get to know who this person mm-hmm. is and get to know yourself really with mm-hmm. this person. Mm-hmm. I don't know, right. does that make sense?
No, it does. So to be open and yeah. to really take time to build relationships, but also just be cautious.
And ask yourself, you know, am I projecting? Is this me just, you know, thinking it's the old boss here? Am
right.
I projecting onto this new boss? Maybe or maybe you're not.
Mm-hmm.
But give yourself the time to just really watch and pay attention. Mm-hmm. Look at how other people react around
right.
this boss.
Right.
Because that'll give you a tip off. They probably don't just treat one person poorly. Mm-hmm. They probably treat everybody poorly.
Right, right.
So, and nobody's perfect. You know, no boss is going to be an angel in every respect.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to learn their strengths and their weaknesses and, mm-hmm. you know, how that works for you.
And how they operate. Right, right. So yeah. give yourself, you said 3 months, 90 days
it
is that sweet
that
spot.
It takes that long, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
All right.
Great.
So that's it.
That's it.
Join us next time for another My Crazy Office podcast.
Yes, and you can send your questions or stories to info@mycrazyoffice.co. Thank you. My Crazy Office is produced in New York City at K Squared Studios. Stay crazy.